Welcome to episode 26 of Around the Outside.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Big episode right here because we got some big news today that we're going to talk about with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway announcing there'll be no fans at the track.
Correct.
For the 500.
You'll see us talk about that here.
So pretty bummed about that. We'll talk about that. We're also going to get into Iowa.
A little Iowa recap. Talk about what happened, qualifying, what happened during the race,
right.
That type of stuff.
Right.
Recapping the weekend.
And then that's actually the first segment that we'll talk about. The second segment, we'll get into the 500.
Yep.
And then the third and final segment, we talk about news and rumors. And there's a lot of stuff to cover there.
Yeah, we talk about maybe some one-offs for the 500 possibly happening. Will there be 33 cars? Who knows? We talk about Team Penske and Acura splitting up.
Yep.
And what that means for Elio Castroneves and Juan Pablo Montoya.
We'll get into all that. So just stay tuned. And I got to say one thing. It is really it doesn't get any better than when you get a Twitter notification that says Mario Andretti just liked your tweet.
It's pretty awesome.
That we were flabbergasted when he followed us.
Yeah.
And now to get something that says he liked one of our tweets, that's
pretty awesome.
That's pretty special. So, Mario, if you're listening, thank you very much. We love you. Now, stay tuned for episode 26 of Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast.
Here we go. And welcome back to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast.
Special mobile edition.
Mobile edition.
We are currently on our way to football practice, but we find it hard to fit these things in because by the time we get home and it's late and then we're both tired. So
yeah.
Figure let's do it now. We're going to do the Iowa recap for this first segment.
Yep.
We haven't done one since Iowa, so take her away.
Get into it. So obviously, I'll go over the two pole sitters first. For race one, it was an amazing pole sitter.
It was our boy.
It was Connor Daly.
Our boy, Connor Daly.
Putting down a fast lap in that 59 Gallagher machine for Carlin.
That's just awesome.
Yeah, so Carlin's looking a lot better year by year, especially when Connor's at the helms on the ovals. So Connor's on pole for race one, and then we know Joseph was on pole for race number two.
Yeah, they kind of did that. You know, they had two qualifying laps, and their first lap was their time for race one, and their second lap was their time for race two.
Which I really like.
So Connor was first and third.
Yeah.
So that's awesome for Connor and
For sure.
And Carlin.
So going over, we'll start with results for race one. Simon Pagenaud coming away with the win.
Complete BS. By the way.
How's that?
Just because he caught a lucky yellow. It's just complete BS to me. But, you know, I'm not a Pagenaud fan. So, and I know it, you know, yellows happen. Sometimes they go your way. Sometimes they don't go your way. But he started last because he didn't even qualify because they had an issue. But start last, catches a lucky yellow, and then ends up winning the race.
So, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, that sucked.
Finishing out your podium, Scott Dixon, another good result in second. And then Oliver Askew coming home in third. Good race for the McLaren boys with Pato O'Ward coming in fourth.
That was a really good race. That was a good weekend for those guys.
Yeah, so to really recap that race, that yellow changed the complexion of that race. If I remember right, that was a Joseph-dominated race for a little bit.
That was Connor led led a bunch of laps there at the beginning.
At the beginning.
But then Connor actually he was the last one to pit. He had the entire field.
That was race number two.
Was that race number two?
Yeah.
that he pitted one lap too soon?
Yeah, because then they came back in later in that race. When he was third and didn't get the strategy to work.
I thought that was race one where he pitted one lap too soon.
It might have been. Either way, it happened.
I think it was. And, yeah, because the first race, Connor got hosed on the yellow. The second race, I think the team kind of hosed him on their tire strategy. They brought him in, and, yeah, that didn't work out either. So,
but Connor in race one finished eighth. And towards the end of the race, that yellow came out, and so guys like Askew, O'Ward, I think Newgarden was on fresh tires. Those guys came in and were able to get fresh tires and kind of work their way. I think they were like a lap or two down and were able to work their way all the way back up to third.
Right.
And fourth. So, yeah. Good result for them.
Yep.
Notables in race one, you got Graham in 12th. Felix Rosenquist in 14th. I was reading his number.
Right.
Carpenter in 15th. Hunter Ray 16th. A lot of those guys. Herta crashed out. Power crashed out.
Yeah, that Herta wreck was something else,
man. It was crazy.
That was kind of like, you know, everybody was talking about it afterwards, but that was like the first major test of the aero screen.
Yeah, and I think it did its job.
And it pretty much kept Herta's car, the nose of his car.
Out of the cockpit of Rasmus's car.
So the way it looked, like he had just creamed the side of his head.
Yeah.
And, so.
Good job, IndyCar, with the aero screen.
As much as we didn't like it to begin with. And
it's growing on me a lot.
As ugly as it is from the front, I do like it from the side. But, boy, it did its job right there.
Yes, it did.
For sure.
That was a crazy crash.
For sure.
He was inches away from that being a lot worse. Both of them.
Yes.
So. But wrapping up race one, once again, Simon Pagenaud comes away with the win.
Beautiful.
That's race number one. On to race number two.
I feel like I'm in race number one. Right out here on 465, people just driving crazy today.
They are driving crazy.
So, yeah. Jeez.
So qualifying for race one, you've got Joseph on pole, Will second, and like we said, Connor third. Going into the race, it was another one of those Joseph-dominated Iowa days. He led 214 laps in total. No one really threatened him for the win. Good race overall for Joseph. Finishing out your podium, Will Power finally getting a good result.
Yeah.
In what could quite possibly be one of the best post-race interviews I've ever seen, if you remember.
What? What'd he say?
He was talking about how if he would just drive worse, he'd have better results. Like his other guys, basically saying other guys drive worse than him.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. That was classic Will Power.
So another good Will Power quote. Good race for him finally. And coming in third, he got Graham.
Yeah, he says, I drive so good and I don't get the result. Something like maybe I should drive like some of these other scrubs.
That's basically what he said.
And then I'll get the result. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, good quote from him. Simon, another good result in fourth, and Dixon fifth. Like we said, Askew had a good day in sixth. Rossi, race one, we didn't talk about it, finished sixth in race one, eighth in race number two.
Yeah.
Finally, a good weekend for Rossi.
Yeah, I mean.
A decent
weekend, and that's probably by his standards.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But
maybe the surprise of the top 10 right here. Coming in at 10th with a good result.
Marco Andretti. Right.
There you go.
10th. That's a shame when we're talking about 10th. And
yes, it is.
You know,
yes,
but it is. Whatever.
Coming in 13th, we've got Connor Daly.
Again.
Which, if you look back at it, lap-wise, and he's talked about this on, I want to say it was Marshall Pruitt's podcast a little bit. He talked about how the strategy he did was almost the exact same as Askew and O'Ward did the night before. it was the same lap distance-wise, just about. And it just didn't work out for him. He couldn't get through the field, I guess, like the McLaren boys did the night before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's sad, because he was in third at the time.
Team hose, team, and you know.
Even if those guys pass him, he's looking at a top six, probably.
Yeah, I was listening to his scanner.
He was not happy.
During the race and at the end of the race. And he basically came on and said, how the blank did that happen? And then one big blank, long drawn out blank. So, yeah, he was not
a happy
guy. He was not too pleased after that race. But I tell you what, man, I really do just listen to him talk, you know, about his experiences with Carlin, and because he's raced for them before, I think, over in Europe.
Yeah, he has.
And you know, junior divisions, but I think he genuinely likes running with those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, now if they could just get a second car to be running with them, you know, then it would really help. But that was the significance of that, especially that qualifying effort.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the smallest team in the field.
Yeah, probably the smallest team.
You know, smallest one-car team in the field.
But they're on pole and third.
Right, and Connor Daly and those guys put it on pole.
And that's with Connor Daly. You know, we even mentioned this on the episode before, saying he may not have such a good weekend just because Iowa's not his favorite track.
Yeah, he talked about that. I listened to his podcast afterwards, or with Marshall Pruitt, with some one of them. And, yeah, he said that was a great weekend,
mm-hmm.
especially at a track that he doesn't typically do well at. But
so I'm excited to see what happens at Gateway, if we get to Gateway.
Yeah, if we get to Gateway. That's a topic that we're going to discuss in an upcoming segment here.
Yeah.
But, all in all, the heat took its toll on some drivers. Yes, I know Connor said that he had to go visit the infield care center after race two. He kind of blacked out a little bit or something. Maybe he had to go get some fluids.
And, yep, so IndyCar still has some figuring out to do when it comes to keeping the drivers cool.
Yeah.
Basically, from what I've heard, anything they've done so far is just putting hot air into the cockpit, and it does nothing.
I think Connor said that those tidbits they tried this at Iowa just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So they got to figure out. I just don't understand why they don't have why they don't have a cool box mounted somewhere. I know they can do that. I know NASCAR used to have like a cool box inside the car. I know there's a lot more room inside a NASCAR than there is an IndyCar, but surely somebody can invent something or come up with something, develop something that's some kind of a cool box or,
mm-hmm.
you know, incorporate into the hose or something to get those drivers some cool air. But
right. Well, hopefully they figure it out. All in all, really good Iowa weekend.
Yeah, really like the doubleheader aspect of it.
Yeah,
from a fan standpoint, yeah.
I don't know if the drivers were too keen on it.
Right.
But it was really entertaining.
I think some of them were. I mean, you got various opinions on it. But
yeah.
From a fan standpoint,
it's awesome. You get 250 laps back to back,
you know,
Saturday night, Sunday night.
I mean, how awesome is that, you know, for us as fans? And we got to talk about, this was the first race that IndyCar had fans at.
Yeah.
And the way it turns
the
first oval, because they had them at Road America, but
yeah.
The first oval that they had fans at. And, hell, the way it's working, it may be the only oval that there's fans at. So, but all in all, good weekend, good Iowa weekend. I think IndyCar checked a lot of boxes. Good racing.
That they do.
Doubleheader in the heat. And the aero screen did its job.
Yeah.
So, and they had fans.
All in all, good weekend.
And I haven't heard anything. It's been a couple weeks since Iowa. so that we're doing this, but I haven't heard anything to come out about, you know,
spikes in cases.
Hey, they had some fans come down with COVID because they went to Iowa. So I don't know, but all right, that's our Iowa wrap up.
Yep.
And we will get out there one of these times.
Yes, we
to
will.
Go to Iowa, but we will come right back with some more Around the Outside and IndyCar Podcast. Welcome back to segment two of Around the Outside. Do we know what episode this is? By chance, off the top of your
hold
head.
Up.
I think it is it 25?
26.
This is episode 26.
Close.
So segment two, episode 26. We just talked about our Iowa recap. And so now starts
the bad news portion of the show.
This is as we sit here record this
on August 4th, 2020.
Driving around 465. Heading around the west side. We're getting ready to come by Crawfordsville Road here in about 5 minutes. Unbelievably sad news today for race fans. For the first time since 1972 and 2006, respectively, we will not be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on race day.
Along with everyone else.
Along with everybody else. Along with nobody. Nobody will be in attendance. They came out today and announced today that
the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because of spikes in cases of COVID-19 in Marion County,
right,
that there will be no fans in attendance at this year's Indianapolis 500.
No fans.
Which I think, in my personal opinion, the plan they had in place was perfect. I think it worked out well.
Right.
But we sit here and it's been canceled to fans.
I mean, I'm obviously extremely disappointed. Like I think we tweeted out, this is to us, to the two of us, and to thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of other people. Race day for us is,
it's like Christmas.
The best day of the year.
Yeah.
To me, it's better than Christmas.
I would agree.
It's race day, and to not be able to go,
it sucks.
It's a really empty feeling, and obviously, my opinion on this whole COVID thing and the mask, wearing of the masks and doing all this. If they say that we need to wear the mask and that prevents or helps prevent the spread, then I'm all for it, and that's what we need to do. The problem that I have with it is that they tell us if we wear masks and that we stay 6 feet apart, that's what's going to help stop the spread of this.
Correct.
So the track comes out with a very comprehensive plan.
80-plus pages.
Right. That basically says, we're going to make you wear masks.
And you will probably be, or not probably, you will be 6 feet apart from each other.
And you're going to be spaced out at least 6 feet apart. But then they tell us that, well, that's not any good. So they tell us that's what we have to do. But they tell us that even though we're going to do it, that we can't do it. It's not good enough. And I think the letter that came out from IU Health,
I think that's what caused this.
I think it caught Penske and Penske Entertainment or Penske, whatever you want to call it, Penske Inc., whatever it is. I think it caught Mr. Penske and Doug Bowles and Mark Miles and everybody at the track in IMS and IndyCar by surprise. Yep. They got blindsided.
I bet you're right. And the issue with that article coming out is with them saying that, it puts into the minds of Roger and all them at the track that they don't want to be the first people to have an event with that many people.
Well,
nobody wants to be the first right now.
So I know in the letter from Doug Bowles that he put out today, he said that they were as late as yesterday still planning on what their gate procedures were going to be like for race day.
Right.
As late as yesterday. So this all just...
this happened today.
Right. I got on Twitter probably 11:45, and I started seeing some things, you know, about, hey, there's a conference call with all IndyCar team owners at 12:15 to be followed by an announcement at 12:30. You know, and then some people start leaking some stuff out. Obviously, they were in the know, or they've got some people in the know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this ain't good. They're either saying no fans or they're going to postpone it. I didn't think they'd ever cancel it, but they were going to postpone it. And it turns out that it's no fans. And I'll be honest with you, for those of you that are listening to this that do not live in Indy, for the past month and a half, maybe, Indy's been, like, everywhere you go, they're like maybe half the people are following the protocol.
Correct. And it was before Governor Holcomb put out that mask mandate.
Right.
You know, it honestly may have been more than half of people not following. Yeah.
I mean, I went by a daycare yesterday during work. I drove by a daycare, kind of down in the hood, but, you know, I drove by this daycare. Mm-hmm. And there were, I bet you there were 40 kids out on this playground. And it's not a big daycare, so they don't have a lot of area. So there were probably 40 kids out on this playground, none of them wearing a mask. None of them. None of them. Yeah, they're all playing with each other, touching each other, pushing each other. And the staff out there, they ain't none of them have masks on.
Yeah,
so, you know, I mean, you've got a whole faction of people that believe that, you know, you can't make me wear a mask, and that, you know, the mask isn't doing anything, and, you know that this whole COVID thing isn't any worse than the flu. And I mean, man, I've gone back and forth and back and forth on this thing. Like, we've been told so many things that you really don't know what to believe.
Correct.
And the bottom line is we had upped our tickets. You know, we had confirmed our tickets, and we were going to be there on race day. And now nobody is.
Sadly,
and
we're not.
And there's nothing is going to... the entire thing is closed to fans. So there'll be no fans at any practice session.
No fans at quals.
None at quals. None. They had already canceled the pit stop competition on carb day. So there's not going to be any fans at carb day. There's not going to be. So thank the Lord for NBC Sports Gold.
Correct.
Because we'll be burning the hell out of that.
That we will.
The person that I feel really bad for,
the winner,
is the winner, because you're going to run the race, and
it'll probably feel pretty normal during the race.
To them it probably will.
I'm saying to them,
because they get, they always talk about how, you know, the drivers always talk about how what a big difference it is on race morning when they come out. And you got all the color in the stands because of all the people, because they're used to, you know, for the most of the month, they've been, it's all gray because, you know, the stands aren't full.
Right.
So I'm sure that goes away, you know, after they're focused in on what they're doing. But it's going to be a little weird for those guys, I think, to start with. And then,
yeah, for sure.
And then after that, I think it just goes away and it's the race, and they concentrate on the race. But
once you get, once that winner crosses that yard of bricks, and there's
no
fans.
Right. There's, that's who I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for the winner, the team, the winning team. Yes, they'll be forever known as the Indy 500 winners. Yes, that driver's face will be on the Borg Warner. But he's got to go through now a victory lane with no reaction, no fans. The way they've been doing victory lane with this COVID stuff is their team's not really in there with them, you know, like they normally are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of there, but, you know. So no fans, nobody to watch you drink the milk, nobody to... No cheering, no screaming, no victory lap in the pace car. You know, I don't know, man. It just, my heart's torn because it's like, I definitely didn't want them to cancel the race. But I really didn't want them to run it with no fans either.
Yeah, I know. It's, I'm in the same, I was thinking about today, you know. I'm in a tough spot because for the longest time I was in the group of saying I'd rather not run it than have it with no fans.
Right.
But, you know, after today's announcement and everything that's gone on this year, I will be perfectly happy waking up on August 23rd with it being race day and still being able to watch the greatest race on earth.
Right.
May not be there, and that really sucks. Right? That's terrible. But we at least still get to watch it on TV.
I just hope that IndyCar comes out the backside of this in decent shape.
I saw a tweet today how not just IMS, but IndyCar is going to really hurt financially with this because they rely on the ticket money and others' revenues from the month of May, or this year it would have been August, to help the series.
That's going
to
be Roger Penske that's going to feel that in his pocketbook. So thankfully he has deep pockets now.
Deep buff pockets.
Is this what he wanted to do? Of course not. But my hope is that moving on in 2021 and beyond is that we don't lose a lot of sponsors on cars, and we see our numbers dwindle, right?
Right.
That's what I don't want to have happen, but I don't know. It's just, it's going to be weird, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that go out there on race day and are at gate one and maybe some down at gate 9 or wherever, you know, whatever, wherever their entrance is, you know, on race day.
Right.
I
wonder if that's even going to be allowed.
I don't know. I mean, I thought about it. I was like, man, I wish there's some way we could figure out. I know you can do it if you've got, like, satellite. You know, you can hook into, there's like, I remember we saw one when we went to Notre Dame. We went to a football game one day, and somebody had a Dish Network tailgate hotspot. Mm-hmm. So you could do like a Dish Network tailgate hotspot, and then like go to the coke lot,
right?
And pop you a tent up at the coke lot, and at least be able to hear the cars, but then watch the race, you know, live. So I'm sure that there is going to be somebody or multiple people that figure that out, and we'll be out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Like you said, are they going to allow it? Are they going to allow people to congregate? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but
I think that's been the definition of 2020 is, I don't know.
Right.
Because nobody knows what's going on.
Well, the definition of 2020 for me is screw you, 2020. I'm so ready for this crap to be over with that it's not even funny.
Well, that's another thing you got to think about is we're looking way down the road to the next month of May, right? May 2021. Is this even cleared up by then?
Well, I mean, that's
thing. Another big question.
You hope that there's a vaccine by then, and you hope that it's working. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I know there's people on all kinds of sides of this thing based on data, and, you know, based off of, you know, it affects, you know, 1% of the people, 3% of the people here. I mean, you know, it's a very low percentage rate based off of, you know, total numbers, but I don't know, man. I don't know what the right answer is. And, you know, we definitely leave politics out of this podcast. We don't talk about that. We just got to hope that it's cleared up, like you said.
Right. We'll see, man. It's, like I said, who knows? Just have to hope and pray that it's gone.
Right. So
at least going is in, we're back to mostly normal.
Mostly normal. Because I'm sick of watching the NBA in the bubble. I think that's, you know, they got video of fans and stuff sitting in chairs. I mean, you know, Major League Baseball with, you know, no fans.
I saw Major League, I was watching a game the other day. They had, when they'd hit the ball and pan out to the field, they had, like, video game fans CGI'd into the stadium.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's just, this whole thing's just been crazy. So, again, terrible news today, came out today. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, we lost six, I think it is. Six Indianapolis 500s that were not run.
Yeah, for sure.
Due to
World Wars.
And we are definitely thankful that we're not involved in that. That's why that this race isn't being run.
Very
so
true.
It could be worse. I use words like devastating and heartbroken and, you know, those are typically things that are left for a little bit more big picture things. But when you're a fan of the Indianapolis 500 for as long as I've been a fan, for as long as you've been a fan,
it's hard. It sucks.
It is. It's our most looked forward day of the year. So it is devastating to us, and as well as many, many, many other people out there. So.
Correct.
Having said all that, that's the news that we got. So we're going to take another short break right here. And when we return, we will discuss news and rumors, which
news and rumors.
There is quite a bit going on.
Yes, there is.
In the world of racing in general. And we'll cover that here right after this break.
Sounds like a plan, brother.
You've been listening to Around the Outside. We are out for this segment. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to segment 3 of Around the Outside.
The final segment.
News and rumors. A lot of news.
Lots of news.
A lot of news to get to. You know, we had bought tickets to go to Mid-Ohio, and then they turned Mid-Ohio into a doubleheader.
Which was cool.
Right, because they canceled Laguna Seca and Portland.
Because of all the West Coast Corona cases at the time.
So, they made Mid-Ohio a doubleheader. They made the Harvest GP a doubleheader.
And they made Gateway a doubleheader.
And they made Gateway a doubleheader, which we bought tickets to Gateway, too.
That we did.
So... we buy tickets to Mid-Ohio after, you know, they're saying, yep, we're definitely gonna have it, and the governor's saying we're good, and then like 3 days later they postpone it to
sometime in September, October. So who knows with that? And I'm assuming with the track we're on, Gateway will either, if they work it out like Texas, be no fans, or it will just be postponed
right
to September as well. So
we shall see. We shall see. So what are we starting off with? We got an article in the Star, Indianapolis Star, talked about how right now we only had 30 confirmed rides for the 500.
As of right now.
So who are we missing?
As of right now, if you just kind of glance over who we got, J.R. Hildebrand hasn't been announced.
Usually with
Dryan Reinbold as the second car.
Correct.
Was Dragon Speed confirmed in that 30?
That I don't. They may have been confirmed, but I don't know if the driver isn't confirmed. Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to be Ben Hanley again, I would assume.
Maybe.
Who knows with that? We are missing a third Dale Coyne car, which was going to be James Davison with his deal with Bird Racing.
Right, but they've already announced they're not doing it.
They're backing out. You know, you're looking at a second Carlin car.
Right.
You know, they started the year saying they're going to run a second car for the whole year.
And I agree with Connor. You know, like he said in his podcast, if I was a driver, I'd be banging down Carlin's door.
Yeah, they run really good at Ovals.
They have this year. Trying to get into that car for the 500.
Right, for sure.
Oriel Servia.
Yeah, on Twitter today, Oriel Servia. Keep seeing his name. Servia tweeted out talking about how he almost has enough sponsorship money and for any company to DM him. So
right.
If you own a company and contribute, let's get Oriel Servia on track again.
Yeah, you can slide into Oriel's DMs.
So I don't know what team that would be with.
Usually it's Rahal, but
they already have a three car.
They already have a third.
I can see it right now being Coyne or someone like that. Also, Stephen Wilson. Justin Wilson's younger brother tweeted out basically the same thing, that he's close on money to have enough money to run at Indy. So that would be cool to see those guys back.
Yep.
Hopefully it works out for them. They're running out of time. They have about a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a week from today, but
that got postponed.
That changed.
That changed yesterday.
That started the chain of events of everybody going, wonder what's going on here. So,
right. So, who knows? Some of the part-time guys we got this year are one-offs. You got Elio back in the number three, which we'll touch on him again here in a little bit. Yeah. Big news coming from the Team Penske Acura program in IMSA. You got Spencer Pigot running with Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan. Who else we got here? You got Sage Karam coming back.
Sage is back.
You have the Fernando Alonso.
Fred.
Running the number 66 Aero McLaren SP.
Yeah, with Craig Hampson as his engineer.
James Hinchcliffe is back. And Foyt will be fielding a three-car team of Charlie Kimball, Tony Kanaan, and Dalton Kellett. So
they're batting 33%.
Yes.
With Tony. Yes.
Those are all your part-time guys, I believe. Well, Max Chilton. Max Chilton will be in the 59 this month. So,
yeah.
As of right now, that's all we got.
I think that's it.
Every other full-time guy is...
I don't think we're missing anybody.
In there, so hopefully we can get three more rides.
Right, which in this environment, it ain't going to shock me.
It won't shock me if we don't have 33.
If for the first time in who knows how long, we haven't had at least 33.
Yeah.
And I say at least because there's been times where we've had 34.
35. I think 36.
Yeah,
was
35.
The
no, I'm talking about cars that actually started.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, so that brings us to Acura Team Penske.
Yes.
And
big news coming from
Yes. and they are basically separating from Acura. And they are not, as of right now, they are not going to field an IMSA team.
So there's kind of two big names, really four, because the other two guys are good drivers as well, but I'm assuming they're staying in IMSA. Two really big former IndyCar names in there with Helio Castroneves and Juan Pablo Montoya.
Right, which they, it came out that Penske has told them that...
they can look for rides elsewhere.
Yeah, if they want to, if they want to seek other opportunities, go ahead and do it. So Helio puts it out there that his plan is to be back in IndyCar full-time next year in 2021.
Right. So now starts silly season already in a way.
So that leads you to...
speculating who he's... and it's not going to be Penske.
Right.
That's already been announced.
Yeah, because he... yeah, he basically said that, you know, this 500 would be his last race in an open wheel car with Team Penske.
Which is crazy to think about.
So, where does that lead Helio? You know?
Fantastic question.
I mean, there's just so many unknowns just because of COVID. And you know, what effect is this going to have on the field? With sponsorship and car count and. Does Helio bring money? Does Helio not bring money? I mean, who knows? Then, not only about this, you know, the Team Penske news with IMSA, does Juan Pablo come back?
Yeah.
Does he come back for the 500 only?
Yeah, because that he's the only reason he stopped running at the 500 is because Roger told him he's not running at the 500 anymore.
For another team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Does he come back and do a one-off fourth car for Ganassi at the 500?
That would be my suggestion.
Well, but here's the thing about that. What if the fourth car for Ganassi is Jimmy Johnson?
True.
Where's that, you know, do they run a fifth for Juan Pablo? I can't imagine. You know, listening to Mike Hull talk on Trackside about Jimmy Johnson's test.
It kind of sounds like Jimmy Johnson will be.
Yeah, I mean,
Ganassi has interest.
That's what he said.
I'm assuming that could end up being what happens.
He said that Ganassi would definitely have interest in running Jimmy Johnson, as well as probably every other team out there. Now, I doubt Penske's going to do it. They'd probably be the only team that I could see not doing it, just based off of numbers.
Well, depending on what Connor does next year, if he's, you know, I don't know what his contract situation is with Carpenter or Carlin, you know, you don't know what's going on there.
Well, I mean, I think Connor's situation's all based around the Air Force.
That's very true.
You know, with that Air Force money. And as long as he's got the Air Force money, I think he'll be somewhere.
Yep.
Where that is, who knows. But, so I don't know, man. There are so many bombshells that could be dropped just based off of Helio and Juan Pablo.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're dropping the IMSA program. Also in that interview that Mike Hall gave to Trackside, they asked him about Ganassi Racing's interest in going back to IMSA racing. Yeah. And he said that they 100% want to get back into IMSA racing. And that they would actually be reaching out to Acura.
So it can end up being Penske Acura to Ganassi Acura.
But he said that it would have to be a factory.
Yeah.
A factory-led effort.
It wouldn't be straight from Ganassi.
Right. It couldn't be a Ganassi-led thing. It would be they would want to be a factory team.
Right.
So just like they were the factory Ford, you know, GT team. And so... who knows if they start their IMSA program back up? Maybe Juan Pablo is driving for Ganassi again, but in IMSA.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, who knows, man? I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on.
That
so
there is.
We talked about the Jimmy Johnson deal. I think he basically came out and said that he wants to run all of the road courses. And now he's pretty much opened up to running the 500 as long as he can get his wife on board with it.
Right.
Which I'd be surprised if he doesn't run the 500.
Yeah, I'd be very shocked.
At some point. At some point. So, JUCOs, do we know anything about JUCOs?
I was looking stuff up, couldn't find anything about the 500 specifically yet. Yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming if they're at the 500, it would be with
Kyle Kaiser.
Kyle Kaiser, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it would be with him.
So.
Who knows what's going to happen there.
So, I don't know. We'll have to see what happens here with the 500. It's like I said, it's been a lot of news. It's been a big news day today in IndyCar.
Yeah, sadly.
You know, again, announcing with no fans, and it's going to be pretty weird.
It is going to be weird waking up on race day, not waking up early.
Right, watching this thing on TV. So
going to the track.
So. Who knows? So, well, I think that's going to about wrap it up.
I think that wraps us up.
For episode 26, we said?
The mobile edition.
The mobile edition. You are catching the mobile. So if the audio is a little off or you got some background noise, it's because we are in our car driving to and from football. So having said that, we will be back again, I'm assuming. We're going to come back and...
I think probably within the next week or two,
yeah,
after some practice starts happening at the track.
Yeah, we'll try to knock one of these out like maybe next Friday for Fast Friday.
Yep.
And kind of see where we are pre-qualifying, make some predictions, and then we can come back.
This is our first year making predictions on the 500.
Yeah.
So we made predictions last year.
This is the first year we can bet on the 500. Right.
Made some predictions last year on the podcast, but that podcast has been since retired.
Right. I've already got a bet on Connor Daly.
Don't win.
Right. If it's like it'll pay me like almost $500 if he wins. So, come on, Connor Daly.
Connor, win us some money, dude.
So, having said that, we will hop off here, and we will see you guys again next week. Again, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. You've been listening to Around the Outside, an IndyCar podcast.
And we are out.